Welcome to the good stuff.
You've never said the name of the podcast before.
Yeah, we've never said it. This is recorded at the end, but we're going to play it at the beginning because we've realized we need to promote a show that we're doing where we're performing this new weekend. Material this weekend in Sydney. So this only applies to Sydney listeners. It's on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. However, Sam has revealed that on Thursday night, he will not be performing.
I can't attend. I'm going to be in Melbourne for a more pressing matter.
So that's a perfect time to come if you like comedy.
No, come Friday and come, Saturday. No,
Thursday night is going to be the primo performance. Ten more minutes of me.
Are you going to replace
Ten
me?
Ten more minutes of Cam. Cam James is also performing. It's three of us. We're doing new material. It's at the Factory Theatre.
Cheap tickets.
So go to our socials or whatever. 7 o'clock. You know, it's everything set up for you.
Go down. You can have a beer at the Vic before.
Absolutely.
You go in, you see the show. It only goes for an hour.
Exactly.
You got the night.
Be
for
nice.
Yourself.
Get into it. You know,
enjoy
what I mean?
It. Don't tell your friends.
Don't come and be.
I thought this would be better. This material is very underdeveloped. Yeah, of course it is.
It's
been locked down for 5 months.
It's called new stuff. Dickhead.
Yeah.
So Thursday.
So if you want some of that energy of Tom being pretty kind of like bratty towards
defensive.
The audience,
defensive.
Every time you don't laugh,
underprepared.
Tom's gonna be like, have some fucking respect.
Probably.
For my art. Anyway, huge episode coming up.
Oh, my God. You're going to love it.
Please strap in. The tale of Tom bombing. It really will inspire you to buy tickets to the show.
Yeah, it's the worst promoting episode ever. But, yeah, thank you.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shane, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny.
This is the toilet in this fancy restaurant.
Are you in the disabled toilet?
Yeah. But I think maybe that...
That's bad because I know what a disabled toilet looks like and you're in the disabled toilet.
Everyone knows what a disabled toilet looks like.
No, but if you never used one, if you went to the one you're supposed to, you would never know what it looked like.
Are you saying that a good guy would be like, never seen one. Never seen one in my life.
These handrails?
A handrail? And never heard of it. Never seen it in my life.
That leg room, that's not what a toilet is.
I suppose I'm Jesus. Did I tell you about... Did I say on this... I went to a play and had a disabled toilet situation.
No.
I went to a play and I had a disabled toilet situation.
Okay. Well, let's get back to this one.
That's all about that. No, I went and there were two awkward things happened. There were unisex bathrooms.
Yeah.
Right? I thought they were just like one stall each and they said, you know, both genders or something. They had a little spiel. Like, it was all a bit wanky. It's like a theatre, you know. Yeah. And then...
You don't have to tell me about the theatre. Goddamn theater.
Like everyone's welcome in this bathroom. It's like, we shouldn't have been.
Save the art.
Less florid language, right?
Sure.
But anyway, the one I went into before the play had a urinal there and then a few stalls over on the left.
Great. Okay.
I went to the urinal and then went to the play. Half time, the play comes around. I'm like, need to go to the bathroom again. So there's two doors into two different bathrooms. One has just women lined up and one has just men. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, the genders have split anyway, even though there's no rules around this. So I go to the back of the man one because I'm like, I suppose that's
you should
where
do
I should
it.
Be.
Everyone else is doing it, yeah.
Exactly. And then, but then I realize because that first one I went into before the play had a urinal and then some stalls.
Yeah.
What if that, the only women are lined up for, what if they have a urinal and some stalls too, but none of them are using the urinal because they're all women? So I could just duck in there because it's unisex.
Yeah, but unisex doesn't mean you can piss in front of women.
Why not?
Like it means everyone gets cubicles.
No, but the one I've been into had an open urinal.
Totally, but that's not on.
If you can't piss in front of women, what the hell
dude,
is... What do you mean? That's the unisex.
That's outrageous. That's like offensive.
Offensive?
Unisex toilets are never
like transphobic
to me,
mate.
They just have a trough. I don't think
this one was a unisex. The one I'd been into said unisex at the front, said men and women welcome. Every, you know, we don't care about your gender. We only care that you wash your hands afterwards or something like that on it, right? Oh, and it had a open urinal and a few stalls. You're saying if there's a woman in the stalls, I'm not allowed to wee?
I'm saying technically you can, but who, you did it. Did you do it?
Well, no.
Because who's going to go do it?
I did worse.
You did a shit in the urinal.
I would have. So I went to the one that the women, I went to the front of the women line. Pushed open the door to see if there was a urinal in there.
What?
Yeah, because it's all unisex. They just happen to be lining up as if it's a woman one. It's for men too.
Yeah, but the sign's a sign. It doesn't matter what the sign says. If there's 15 women
I'm a
lined
rule
up to
guy.
Go in.
I'm a sign guy. You know, these are the rules now. Open it up to look to see if there was a urinal in there. And there wasn't. That one was just stalls.
Oh, no.
So now it looks like I'm just like, excuse me, ladies, I'm just going to have a bit of a... Oh, yeah? Everything's looks okay in here.
Give us a little peek. All right, yeah, back to it.
Because it's unisex now, so I can just have a look if I want.
That's the advantage of it. That's what they kind of brought it in for. It's a little show and tell type situation.
You can't get mad at me for having a look under these rules.
Did anyone say something to you?
Oh, a few looks. But then, no one can be mad because they don't care the agenda. All we care is you wash your hands. But then I go back to the male queue. Damn it. Then I see behind me, there's a disabled cubicle. Right?
Oh, great.
And I'm like, oh, I bet.
I'll have a peek in there as well.
Yes. I'm like, it was all a bit cramped as well. I'm like, let's get this done. And I was like, I bet in this kind of environment, no one's even thought to look at the disabled one.
Yeah.
Opened it and it's free, right? And personally, I think that disabled cubicles, I think we've talked about this. It's not like disabled car parks where you're not allowed to use it. It's just, it's there to set up to help disabled people if they want to urinate, but you're also allowed to go in there and use it.
I don't think you are allowed.
Yeah, I think you are.
Who told you this?
I've spoken to a few people about this. Anecdotally, people are on my side.
Like, we've all used disabled toilets. Of not course. A problem. Like, yep. You got to do it. But, like, you're not supposed to.
In this environment,
you're
not allowed to? I think you are supposed to. I think it's there to help.
I think you do it knowing you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I used to think that, and I thought about it as a naughty thing. Now I think about it as a normal thing.
But what if you're in there and a disabled person's trying to get in?
Well, they can wait for a second.
Oh, my God. You're a monster.
What? Is there something
that says, words, oh, disabled people? You just said that into a microphone recorder.
They're so holy, they can't wait for a second.
That's not about being holy. It's that they can't go to the other ones, and you can go to the other
toilet,
ones.
But then, so there's a bit of a queue.
What's so you're saying they should have to queue? Because an able-bodied person doesn't want to go and queue for the other ones.
Well, sometimes there would be a queue. It depends on the situation. But yeah, I don't see why it's so bad. If someone came in a wheelchair, for example, and they have to wait until they go, like, is that so bad? While someone wees?
Yeah, I just think it leaves a bad taste in
someone's mouth. I don't think it's the same. Because what you're saying applies to disabled parking spots, right? Because if you park there for like 2 hours,
okay,
then they can't get, and they have to park somewhere else.
Disabled parking is worse.
Way worse.
Worse than disabled
toilets.
We're
talking 30 seconds here.
Well, I mean, sure, whatever you want to say it is. It's just like, I just think it's not as bad as disabled parking, but it's pretty bad.
Really?
I think it's pretty bad.
I disagree.
Oh, I've done it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but we're disagreeing about whether it's even like, it's the people who made it, is it frowned upon to you? I think it's there to help them if someone, for example, they're big and they've got handrails.
So you're in a wheelchair, they're unisex for everyone to use, but if you're disabled, that's the one you should use.
Well, it's the one that's accessible for you, yeah, and that's why they're there. So that there's an accessible bathroom for someone who's disabled. But it's not.
I think the consensus is you're not allowed to use it. That's what I always
assume. That's why there's not a queue and that's why I get to. I think some people do agree with that, but I don't know. I've mentioned this to a few people. I think they agree with me.
I'm going to Google it.
Is it wrong?
Are you allowed to use...
I mean, you know, hit us up on social media if you're listening. What do you think?
I met a fan of our podcast on the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Big fan. I got a photo with him.
Oh, that's not
for
bad.
Him.
For him, not for you.
Yeah, not for me.
You have to clarify. For his purposes, I didn't enjoy it.
Are you
even for a bit? I didn't even keep the photo. I sent it to him. I pressed delete immediately. No, I didn't care about it.
I love the photo.
Oh,
I enjoyed the photo.
I saw you kissing it earlier.
But is it illegal to use a disabled toilet?
Not illegal?
No. While the management of the facility is generally entitled to apply their own access policy, there are no overarching laws restricting the use of disabled toilets.
Of course, there's no laws, though. No one's saying you're going to go to jail.
I think, like...
Is it okay? This is from 2020.
I think it's just a taste. It's a vibe thing.
I mean, it does depend on the situation. I think... I mean, the story I'm about to tell kind of doesn't put me in a very fond light. I think it doesn't really support my argument.
This Reddit thing's crazy. No, it's fine to use a disabled toilet as long as there's no one limping towards it.
Totally.
Yeah, but that's to use... What a specific example. Someone limping.
I mean, if I told you about this, when I was about 20... I went to a disabled... This is when I agreed with you. I thought it was a bit naughty.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find the other. I was in an RSL with my friend. Mm. We were at a poker tournament.
Sure.
Up in Newcastle. I popped in there. Unbeknownst to me, he saw me go in there. I was using the bathroom. My friend comes over. And outside the door, he goes, "Oi! Get out of there!"
No.
"What are you doing?" And I'm like,
it's pretty clear what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit. Like, this is someone who's maybe disabled or someone who works there who thinks that I, you know, am not disabled and is mad at me for this exact thing.
Of course.
So I opened the door and faked a little bit of a limp.
That's
as I was walking. And then it was my friend saw me and was like, no, I saw you fake a limp. I'm like, no, I was just walking normally. He's like, you had a bit of a limp. Very shameful.
Did you then deny the limp?
I was trying to deny the limp. You're like, but no way. He saw it.
He saw through it.
I only did it for like two, because I realized very quickly I'd been had, you know.
That's so bad.
I mean, it's pretty bad.
That is my worst fear. Doubling down on already doing something bad with another lie.
Exactly.
And then getting caught out on that lie.
Caught for the lie.
Oh.
Which is way worse than using the bathroom. I think maybe that kind of experience has led me to where I am today, where like I've just had to decide not to worry about it as much. Because there's anyway, I'll tell you what happened.
Tell me what happened. Yeah, sorry.
I identify this disabled toilet.
Yeah.
Empty. I could have gone in there, but I thought, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm like, hang on, I'm not at the front of the line. There's like four guys outside this bathroom. I said to the guy at the front.
Is this back to dinner on?
No, sorry. This is at the play.
Oh, okay.
I've had a look in the women's, the unisex women's. Had a squiz in there. Oh, yeah, everything looks sorted in there. Great. Back to the men's queue. Taking it back. Figure out that this disabled one is empty. I say to the man at the front of the man queue, excuse me, mate, this disabled one's free if you want to go in there. And he said, oh, no, you can go in there. And I said, no, you're in front of the line. You go in. And he's like, okay, thanks, mate.
Perfect.
Goes in. About 10 seconds, 15 seconds after that, a person with a walking frame peels around the corridor, starts walking towards the disabled bathroom, and then doesn't knock, but like arrives just as the guy is leaving, the disabled. And then he looks at the disabled person is like,
did
a
he
bit,
then look at
and
you?
Look at me, and then I looked away. Never met you before in my life, mate. Don't know who you are. Don't know why you're in there. That's shameful behavior. What are you thinking?
Did then you lock eyes with the disabled person wanting to use the bathroom and shake your head at pointing at the other guy?
That would have been a dog act, I reckon.
No, you had to throw him under the bus.
People these days. But no, I didn't want to propagate in society this myth that you're not allowed to use the disabled
bathrooms. I just don't think it's a myth. I think you've got to play it by vibe, but I think you shouldn't never not think it's a good, like a okay. It should never be an okay thing. I think it isn't an okay thing,
and I'm trying to normalize it right now. I'm saying to everyone listening, if there's no one there, there's no one lined up, you're allowed to go and use it. I think going there for ages, if you had something quite a long thing planned, maybe if it's a busy area, it's quite likely that someone could come. I think maybe then you can start thinking about maybe not.
You're saying just to squeeze in is totally fine.
To squeeze in is totally fine. The worst case scenario, people talk. Like someone on a walking frame or on a wheelchair having to wait for 30 seconds is a travesty. They're normal people.
No, they can wait to go to the bathroom.
They can wait 30 seconds.
It's their bathroom.
It's not their
bathroom.
They don't own the shopping centre.
No, but they own that little section.
No. You think about it as kind of other. You other these people.
Absolutely not.
You think of them as their own space and me with my normal body.
No. If you've got a normal body, you can fucking wait in line with the rest of the people.
Well, often like the disabled one's on a different floor to the like the other ones, you know what I mean?
I'm just talking if it's like next to the normal.
Yeah, but that's often. Yeah, I'm not. I'm talking all different cases. Often in a Westfield, there'll just be one cubicle with a wheelchair on it. Accessible bathrooms. Oh, great. Even more accessible for me. Get me in there.
Accessible. Very accessible.
There's lots of room. I'm doing head spins, practicing my.
I went to the women's at IKEA the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Just by accident. Went in there, went to the top. I was like, there's a lot of cubicles in here.
You're criticizing me.
I had no idea until I walked out and walked past the women. And my first thought was like, IKEA are doing unisex toilets. That's pretty progressive.
Totally.
Then walked out and then turned my back and it just says women.
No, they're arresting perverts. They've got you in cars.
Well, I walked out and did hear a big siren-y noise. Boo. And I was like, that can't
imagine.
And obviously it wasn't.
No way.
Thank God. But
I mean, there is a culture.
I did feel bad, like real bad.
I think there, I mean, you should have felt scared, I suppose. Because, yeah, there's a chance that you get accused of being a pervert, basically. That's what I would have been scared of.
And a pervert at IKEA. That's way, like, that just, it's just a news story. It doesn't sound good.
You reckon?
Like, IKEA, it sounds like a place where it's like a Westfield and IKEA, like a Bunning. Oh, maybe not Bunning.
I think you get away with it because IKEA, you walk around, you feel quite at home because there's all these little kind of like fake apartments. You know.
I just go to the toilets in the showroom. Yeah, exactly. They're all accessible up there.
Exactly. Lots of room. Lots of people looking as well. I feel, though, that like, I don't know, over your lifetime, it's been quite normal. Maybe happens, particularly at like pubs late at night or whatever. Women will come into the men's because they're sick of the queue in the women's.
Yeah.
And they'll come and they'll kind of make a joke of it. Ah, I'm crazy. I'm in the men's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, depending on my mood, I can find that a bit frustrating, particularly if it's like, I don't know, I don't want them looking at my penis.
Your penis, yeah.
But other times you're like, oh, yeah, good on you. Like it is a shame that they often have to queue longer.
Well, sometimes their queues are so long.
Gargantuan.
Remember, have you ever seen it at a music festival or like sporting event?
Not fair. So I'm with
them. I'm totally with them.
But and also I would say the opposite, as you've experienced, isn't the case. I think if you're a man in a female one, not that there's any reason that you'd want to go in there because we don't have as long queues generally.
Yes.
But I think you're more likely to get accused of being a pervert. However, more recently, I've been into a few women's where there's like not a whole bit, but like one toilet by toilet. You know, there's like six toilets all with like a gender on them.
Yes, okay.
And there'll be a few men and a few women, and then like the men's ones are full and the women's ones aren't. I'll just go in the women's one.
Oh, because you're. I know. Yeah, if you. I mean, that is fair. I mean, you could at worst plead ignorance.
Totally, and I reckon as well, because there is kind of like a progressive movement around, you know, unisex bathrooms, and I do feel like...
I'm just a woke guy. That's why I was in the female bathroom in IKEA.
I think so. I think there's less shaming around people going into opposite bathrooms. I think like 10 years ago, that was very... It would have been quite an important thing to quite a lot of people. Some people still find it quite important, but I think a lot of particularly younger people don't think those gender distinctions are as important. Yeah. So you wouldn't get as publicly shamed if you were caught in there.
Totally.
Which is good news for impatient people like me.
Someone, I think, has a bit on this, but I was in a bar on Saturday night and it had two photos, men and women.
Someone has a bit about what you were doing last Saturday night?
Yeah. So Torn walked into a bar. No, it had the two photos of like two horses.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of have to know about horses to know which one's considered
denotes the male gender. And one denotes female.
Yeah.
I think that's another situation where I feel completely entitled to go wherever I want. Because it's like now I'm going to be, you're going to quiz me on equestrian to find out whether I did a perverted act. I don't know shit about what ducks should look like. What ducks? I'm going to shit are good wherever I want.
It's like a black duck and a white duck. And
one's wearing a hat, one's not. It's like, well, is it female to wear a hat?
It depends what sort of hat it is.
It does depend.
Is it fedora?
Top hat.
Bora hat. It's bowler hat.
I also love how, like, it's always like, gentleman here. It's like, and then it's where you... It's like the most disgusting thing.
Not even the, like, the a trough is just like...
Yeah, exactly.
You're just throwing waste product.
A little, like, top hat is like, yeah, so this way, gentleman. For the ladies, it's got a nice, like, shoe.
Yeah.
It's like she's... Wiping up it's period like
she's
blood. Shit. You know, like it's the mess in front of this is not the gentlemanly and lady.
It's like it's the dump, is what it is. It's just
the inner dump.
Calling it the little boy's room is a bit of fun as well to imply that, I don't know.
Nappies?
I don't know. That we're just going in there to, I don't know, just have a little wee and then we're getting out of there. Like
little
it's
boy's
carnage.
Room. That is cute. Is that what you're doing? Because I feel like I've...
No, I'm not doing anything.
You don't... I feel like I've heard you say that.
The little boy's room. Yeah. Oh, I would have done it as a joke.
Yeah.
No, and had a mistaken attempt at humor.
Totally. Well, not a mistaken. I think it was a bit cute. I once, when I was with a girl, I said, I'm going to go piss when I went to the bathroom.
That's harsh to hear.
Well, you agree with her. She went, ugh.
Yeah.
She was like,
that's gross.
Mad at me for saying I'm going to go piss.
You could have
Is
said...
Is that wrong? To say.
Yeah.
Is that too?
I even think.
That's why little boy's room was invented, I think, because a guy got in trouble for saying piss.
Piss is so visceral. You could say that to a group of like.
I'm going to be a gentleman.
Gross men.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't like this gendered way that we talk to each other. I'm going into female bathrooms. Oh, I'm saying piss to women. I'm trying to be
what,
equality.
Like, some pervert would use to get themselves out of an argument on the stand.
No.
That'd be like, why are we talking about, why are we talking in genders, split ideas? Exactly. I shit and I piss and I don't care where I do
and
it.
And I kill. And that's why
that
I went
is
into
where it
that
ends
guy.
Up, yeah.
Should we talk about what happened this week?
That I lost my headphones and MacBook charger.
You lost your headphones and your MacBook charger?
Anyway, no, the real thing. That's just been a brutal week for me.
So your laptop
just went into JB Hi-Fi then and was like, all right, get the credit card out.
Totally. I mean, yeah.
The Bose headphones, they're gone.
Whenever you lose something, this is my advice, immediately buy a replacement.
Yeah.
And then you kind of forget that it happened. You know what I mean?
You absolutely do.
It's like a bad with money idea, but just bite the bullet, kind of you'll forget to feel guilty about the cost because it's so quick. And then you don't have to suffer the...
It's just I haven't bought the headphones yet and all I'm thinking about are these fucking headphones. Mm. You're right.
That's what I mean. Should just you're torturing yourself and then you're going to do it and then you're going to feel more bad about like spending the money.
It's either I spend $400 now or I do it in 2 months' time. Exactly. What is the difference?
Do it right now.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right. What I think.
No, you want to talk about your bomb at the TikTok event?
Yeah. I do. It's pretty bad.
I feel bad because I gave them your contact details.
Yes.
So I feel somewhat responsible.
Well, can I say, that happened to a few... So I ran into Matt O'Kine when I was there, and he mentioned that he recommended me for the gig. And then I ran into some other guy who I think was maybe worked with Matt O'Kine or something, had the vibe of like works in the entertainment biz. I wasn't sure of his name. A nice guy, bought me a beer. Don't know who he was. He was like, I'll put you up for the gig. And now you're claiming that you're...
I'm not... No.
So everyone wants...
Can I say...
they're responsible.
I sent them a list of people for warm-up. Your name was not on it.
Right.
And I can show you that list.
Interesting.
And then they got back to me and they said, do you have Tom Cashman's contact details?
So they asked me specifically for a list of all
Yeah,
of
your name wasn't on
you
there.
You didn't even think...
Probably I didn't think this. You'd want to do it.
Well...
I sent through a bunch of people that I thought would have jumped at the opportunity.
Yes.
Like they weren't doing other stuff.
Sure.
I thought they were new and they would want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I assumed it would be quite a bad gig.
Yes.
And then you were right. Whatever. They asked for your... I didn't know what it was about. I thought it could have been for anything.
Totally. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not blaming you, but it is interesting that, quite a few people have been...
claiming it.
Well, upset, I suppose, worried that I do blame them. And now I've got to add you to the list.
No, no, no. Look, I you can blame me if you want, but you know, you're the one holding the mic.
I think it's fine. It was an experience to do. It wasn't. See, this is the thing though. If they were asking you about warm up gigs, it wasn't really framed to me as warm up. The word warm ups were used, but 5 minutes set is what I was told was going to happen. 5 minute warm up set. So the words warm up were kind of in there.
Yeah. Okay. But
usually, if you did warm up. Before like a TV taping or something, you'd get out there, you'd maybe talk for like 20 minutes sometimes.
Totally.
Often you'd kind of be involved with them even walking into the room and sitting down. You're kind of like getting them pumped up for quite a while and then throughout the production, keeping everyone hot.
Yeah.
Maybe throwing lollies to people often. Like sometimes these things go for like 2, 3, 4 hours.
It's a proper thing.
It's a proper thing.
And it's a proper skill to be good at warm-up.
Absolutely. It's something that often comedians do, but... There's you know, specific comedians that do lots of it.
Yes.
And they're very good at it. Very animated people. Yes. Animated performers. Very enthusiastic performers.
And they're loud. They're captivating and they're in your face. Because you kind of have to be for that. No disrespect to you, but I read it as
none
warm-up.
Of those things.
I don't think of you as a warm-up comedian.
No.
Not that I don't think you could do it.
Yeah, well, I couldn't. Well, I mean, I was aware that it would be kind of a bit bad because the words warm up were used, but it wasn't like do a warm up gig at this thing. It's like just do a 5 minute set just before.
Do you think they didn't know what a warm up does?
I think there was miscommunication. I think people didn't quite understand. So I said yes, but I did know that it would be annoying and bad, but I didn't maybe know exactly how bad. I got there and it's like the big top in Luna Park.
Yeah,
it's like,
huge, right?
Oh. And, like, the stage is kind of like an awards. It's like, the Oscars or something. But it's like there's, you know how there's, like, little bits where they walk out into the crowd and then there's little pockets of crowd, like, in little bits.
So you can move around. It was Rolling Stones
it was
concert.
It was a big X. You can go out there. And at the end of each X, there's a big pillar and there's screens on the pillars, which we used to show, like, some of the best TikToks of the year and stuff like that. And
so
on top of one
used,
pillar...
You're part of it now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was part of the production. At the top of one of the pillars, there was a DJ.
Yes, I've heard about the DJ.
And then there was, I think, on top of the other pillar, that's where people went up, like some of the presenters.
How much do you think this whole thing cost?
Oh, hundreds of thousands.
Awesome.
I would say. I don't know. Like, looked great. There was strobe lights everywhere. There were, like, one of the things I had to say during my warm-up set... was the pyrotechnics are going to go off. CO2 is going to be, you know, there was like it was a production.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, during people's performances, big firework thing went off. But anyway, so it was all a bit.
And then you have to go up and do 5 minutes, a bit of admin.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I was told 5 minutes set.
Mm.
And then I got an email saying, could you just include a warning about the pyrotechnics? Because basically, don't come up on stage. Because if you came at the wrong time and you got shot with the, you know, you could get done there. You know, so you got
a real warm up set.
Yeah, we've got to warn them about that, and warn them about strobe lights because you know if you have epilepsy that could be an issue. So just one warning, and I'm like easy, too easy. I can do that. Get there, and they introduced me to a few people. One of them was like I think the director of the thing, and this is someone who definitely had worked in live TV before.
Ooh, okay.
Or like event TV, because she was like, great, okay, so what I need from you, I need you to do like a bunch of claps, so you get the whole crowd clapping at a 3 out of 10. Yeah, she's now talking warm.
Awesome,
so.
Right.
Well, yes
you're
no.
like, no.
Well, she's like, can you get 3 out of 10 claps, and then 7 out of 10 claps, and then 10 out of 10 claps, and this is all just so they can record that, and then pop it in, because they're filming it.
Yeah.
If, you know, someone like doesn't get a round of applause where they think they should, they can just, you know, slide in the edit of the claps before. She's like, each one for like 30 seconds. I'm like, 30 seconds? I said like 30.
Like minute and a half, I got like three.
My set is now only going to be 3.5 minutes.
Did you ask for more minutes at this point?
No.
I would have been like, you're going to have to give me more time.
Well, that's the other thing. It's going live on TikTok. It's got TikTok live, this event.
Oh, so it has to go.
And so there's no wiggle room.
So what time did you start? 7:55.
Well, then before, so the 2 minutes before it went live, there was like a 2 minute countdown. Where DJ Paris Lawrence was going to play.
Oh.
When I introduced her, I almost said Jordan Paris.
The joke-stealing guy.
Yeah, the joke-stealing guy from X Factor. Because there was a big X. I was like,
yeah, and dude, Paris, you get it. You're in
and
there.
And I'm doing comedy.
Yeah, of course,
you know?
Of course.
And then, yeah, so I started at like, 52, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, 7:52.
So you had to be off at when? 7:58. Okay, so you got a bit of time.
Or maybe, yeah, 7:53, I suppose, I went on.
So your plan is now do the admin, do the claps, and then a few gags.
Well, they're like, we've got to do the claps, 30 seconds each. You've got to talk about the pyrotechnics, the CO2. You've got to talk about the strobe. Tell people not to go to the bathroom in a disrespectful way, and tell them to, like, clap and, like, be respectful of all the acts and not to yell out.
And do you have a clipboard or something at this point?
No.
So this is all because I wouldn't have remembered.
Well,
that.
I mean, I wrote something down in my notes. But also, this is now, you know, 3 minutes, I reckon, of stuff. Now my set is getting down to 2 minutes.
And at any point did you think, I throw away the gags and we just do admin, get people making noise, or you're committed to doing the jokes?
I should have done exactly that.
Because you're not on the broadcast, right?
No.
But you thought they've paid for, which they must
they
have.
They did.
Dude,
yeah.
They must have, because they asked me for a list of people.
Yeah.
I didn't suggest them. Then they said, no, we want Cashman. Do you have Cashman's number? So they must have wanted you to do it.
Well, I mean, they did want gags, I think. But then they just didn't know that it wasn't the right time. Because then it gets to like 7:50 and no one's sat down.
This is
a private event, right? This is like, there's 800 people there, but they're all invited because they're TikTokers. It's the first one of its kind, this event. And they're trying to, I think, cultivate our community around TikTokers.
Yep.
So everyone's dressed very specifically. Everyone's like, I don't know, there's just big, very shiny costumes. People basically in costumes. Kind of like a bit of like a...
It's an event.
It's an event. But everyone's like filming each other and like taking photos
phones.
With their favorite TikTokers, and they're obsessed with their phones, and everyone's chatting. It's like a networking event.
Yeah.
No one's there for like the acts really, I suppose, and particularly not the fucking warm-up
set.
Well,
they needed someone being like, get to your seats.
I suppose.
Earlier.
And then, well... So this is what I said. I was like, at like 7:50 or 7:45, I'm like, it's now standing backstage. They've given me a mic and there's, you know, everyone's got like headsets on and running around. I'm like, to the main guy that I was told to talk to, I'm like, can I get this mic live and just say, you know, we're going to start in 5 minutes. Please, everyone take their seats. And he was like, I'll run it up the chain. And he's like, running it up the chain. He comes back. He's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean? No, just like... Oh, just to go, yeah, everyone take their seats. The event's about to start. Like, that simple. Like, what could possibly be the problem with that?
Yeah, why can't you do that?
And he was like, the answer is no.
Oh.
I've talked to the director. The answer is no.
Oh, my God.
And that's when I got
when you
angry.
Were starting at him. Oh, no. I would start going, this one might not go my way.
Oh, I mean, I'd already realized that. I'd come to that conclusion already. But I remember saying to him, I'm like, look out there. Would you want to go out and do warm-up?
Oh, that's good. You said that.
Yeah.
That's such a position. You should say, I'm going to walk. I'm not doing it.
And he said, no. And I was like, yeah, fuck. Well, I suppose you're not the one who has to.
So, wait.
But I remember getting stroppy.
So you, okay, so I just want to, because I've done a set when, in a massive room, when like there was 800 people sitting, sold out 3,000, and I just had to bomb while the remaining like 2,200 came in.
I remember right, this. At the Palais.
Truly one of the, and I didn't have an intro. I just had to walk out. Worst thing. But you, it's not winnable. Like, no. I just, you can't actually do anything when you're up there. When I people suppose. Are sitting there focused on sitting and getting their seat, you're nothing up there.
I was nothing up
so
there.
So you...
It does make you wonder if you had more charisma or something. Maybe
no, there's no charisma.
Yeah.
I wish I was there to tell you, don't even try a joke.
Yeah.
Because it's going to look pathetic.
Even. Can I say, I tried, I did like what I usually do when I host, I had like a bit of repartee with the front row.
So you're chatting to the crowd.
I was chatting to the crowd a bit. I then, also, the only other thing that the guy who booked me said is like, there's no rules. First of all, on the first call, he's like, do you want to do that? I'm like, yeah, that sounds good, whatever. And he's like, what kind of good jokes do you reckon you'll do? And I'm like, just off the top of my head, I'm like, oh, I don't know, like I'll figure something out. And he's like, yeah, but what kind of thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, just off the top of my head. I'm like, oh, well, I've got a bit about like how I've got a small penis. Like that's, I'm like, oh, you know, the pinky speeding ad from like, back in the day, like how that's kind of means.
So now you're doing the bit on the phone.
I'm not doing the bit on the phone. I did a short bit on the phone. And he was like, oh, yeah, that sounds pretty funny. A day later, sends me an email being like, Tom, I've spoken to my colleagues. We'd prefer you not to do the small
bit. I'm with it.
Of course. But it's like, you just asked me off the top of my head to say a bit. It's like, I wouldn't have done that bit anyway.
Yes, of course. You know what I mean? That was the only bit you could think of.
I mean, that's the first thing.
Yes.
He just wanted comfort that I have bits or whatever. So, but then he got
this test.
Then.
He's a comedian. He did have an idea.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not lying. I get there on the day and kind of implying that the small penis gear would have been okay. He said, look, I've chatted to the people about like, you know, rudeness, whatever. It doesn't have to be clean. Kind of, you can do anything really. The one thing that's been requested is you don't talk about pedophiles.
Yeah. Another one of your classic bits.
Well, I don't know if he's seen me do pedophile gear, but I think he just, I mean, that was the line because it's like children, you know, there's like children are on TikTok.
Why do they, are they so concerned with you telling jokes before, you're the warm-up act. I don't know, like it's hard for me to wrap my brain around.
That's why I did jokes because the guy had been talking about these jokes, like he'd been talking about it as if I was going to do a set. And it's like, yeah, they didn't need a set. They needed a professional warm-up guy for this big event. And I'm just out there going like, oh, I had to quit MDMA. Do you know what MDMA stands for? Mum's disappointed. Mum's angry.
I saw the video.
Nothing.
It's awesome.
Maybe I'll put the audio in this, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My friend was there. That's the other thing. That
put
happened.
It in right now.
But I, yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea of the aggression in the TikTok comments. I'll tell you a bit about my life. I had to quit drugs during lockdown. How'd you do it? Mainly because I found out what MDMA stands for. Do you know what MDMA stands for?
This is Tom Cashman's world famous MDMA bit about to bomb.
Mum's angry. So maybe think about
nothing.
That next time you're peaking, okay? Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. Thank you. A bit of enthusiasm there.
There we go. How good was that? Well, that's one of me bombing with that joke. I mean, the other thing is there were different sections of people in the audience, as I said.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when that's happened at previous gigs, you pretend kind of one section or like the bad section or whatever. And so I was like, oh, these guys over here, they're perverts.
Oh,
and I was
what?
Calling them.
That's close to pedophiles. That's so down
that's
the line.
That's what I realised. I'm like, pervert's close. What could pervert mean other than pedophile? And I was then on stage picturing the guy told me that, being like, fuck yeah.
The one thing. I didn't even want him to do jokes. Why is he doing jokes?
But then, so the way to insert a little bit of joy into this for me is that you told me that our mutual friend, Henry Stone, was in the crowd.
I had given you that information.
You'd said that he was there.
I'd only gotten that minutes before.
Exactly.
I was with his girlfriend. Exactly. And she was like, Henry's at that TikTok.
Yeah,
thing.
Can you believe it, right? And then, so I think, well, Henry, friend of mine, is in the crowd, doesn't know that I know he's here. It'd be fun to mention him in my warm-up.
I mean, when you're going down, you take everyone down with you. That is what you don't try to pretend like it's a bit of fun. It's just like, who else can I drag into this goddamn nightmare? Because it's lonely up there.
It is lonely
up there. It's lonely when you're bombing and everyone hates you.
I don't think it's that. I think it's how can I get a silver lining of at least like have a fun little joke out of this.
Yeah.
Out of an otherwise very unhappy situation where I'm humiliating myself. Delta was there. I was bombing in front of Delta. Goodrum. Delta Goodrum was there. I didn't know that at the time, but later someone's like, oh, there's Delta. I used to have posters all over my room of Delta. Now she's seen me eat shit.
Yeah.
It's no good.
She wouldn't have even known you were up there. Or were they all paying attention by the end?
No.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about that then.
Yeah. I mean, true. She probably wouldn't recognize
me. Can I ask one question actually before?
Yes.
How did you establish who you were at the start? Did you say, hey guys, I'm here to do the warm up to get you guys ready. Let's make some noise. Or did you just start talking?
I think I said, hi, my name's Tom. I'm a comedian. I'm, going to just warm you up and do a few gags for 5 minutes and then we're going to get this show on the road kind of thing. Yeah.
Were you wearing a headset?
I was shushing quite a lot. I was like, guys, we're going to need to, you know. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, guys, back there, you know. We're going to need to quiet down. The show's about to start soon.
I honestly reckon if you wore a headset, you would have had more authority.
I should have come out in a headset.
Dude, well, it would have been better for the warm-up. It looks like you've got the director on the line.
Totally.
Because they wouldn't care about, they don't care about you, right?
No,
they would care somewhat about the live show.
Yeah, starting. I suppose, yes. Yeah.
You come out looking like we're getting close. I'm just going to chat to you guys till we
get
close.
Can I say, that is just fantastic. That's such a great move. I reckon that's exactly what you should do.
But how would you know?
And then you're a funny, like, tech guy, as opposed to, like, pathetic comedian who isn't good enough for the live broadcast.
Well, what do they care about anything introspective about your life?
I mean, I
get
structured.
It. They've asked you to tell jokes. Yeah. I don't blame you.
But then he also said it'd be great if you could do some TikTok stuff. About TikTok.
It's so much in such a small amount of time.
No, it's like,
so much.
Like, I've got like 3 minutes 30 here. So I read out some comments under one of my videos as an example of why, like, it's of how like angry the comment section can get on TikTok.
Yeah.
No one listening.
Like, no one would be listening. I also don't blame the crowd, by the way.
No.
They're there for a fun night.
Yeah.
And then you're up there.
But I mean, in 5 minutes, they're about to listen to people.
Yeah, because the show's about to start.
But
why I'm saying you go out there like, we're about to start. This is so exciting.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You're about to be part of this show.
Yeah.
Up until that point, you're not part of them. Yeah. They're not part of you.
I mean, I did get people to sit down. I think that was my function, really, at the end of the day. I was
sitting
down.
Actually, it is that. Well, that's what half of like.
That's why they didn't want me to tell people to sit down before, because it's like, but that's the whole point of you.
Oh,
I reckon.
But what were they doing on these big screens? They could have used those, like, get to your seats.
Yes.
We're about to start.
Absolutely. Would have been great.
I guess they were probably so worried about. Because, I know a bit about the show. I've seen the script. I helped on some of the jokes.
You helped on some of the jokes.
For the Inspired. I don't know how they went. I just got sent a thing and I was like, I put some punch-ups in. I was like, they could do some of this.
Because I got there and Nazim was like, oh, thanks for your help on the script. I'm like, I didn't help on the script. He's like, what?
Well, I ran into Nazim the next day and I was like, how was it? And he goes, I was excited when I saw Cashman up there. Me and Randy looked at each other and realized this could be a tough one.
Well, I saw Heath before and he's like, man, you've got to do a few gags and just eat it.
Why is everyone telling you to do jokes?
Because they want me to just like get it out of the way, you know.
So what did you do after? So you go up and bomb.
And part of the thing is I've got to go, everyone clap like 3 out of 10, like just a pitter-patter. 7 out of 10, like woo. And then 10 out of 10, everyone go crazy. Ah, right. And that was the only thing that kind of did have any response.
Yeah.
And often when you go 10 out of 10, you go like pretend, you know, I think I said Michael Jordan and Jesus just walked through the door like, ah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not bad. But for the 3 out of 10, I'm like, pretend, you know, to someone you've never heard of, like Henry Stone walks through the door, right?
Yeah.
And that was my little shout out.
And did that get any claps or people like, whatever,
no,
it's just a name.
Who cares? It's just a name and then we'll, you know, we'll do the clapping.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But I knew Henry would perk up. And then I thought whoever he's there with, he'll get to be like, oh, that's my mate, you know? Like,
That's my cool mate up there.
Not the cool mate. Because he's bombing. But it's like, to be involved and have a bit of a shout out from the guy on stage, at a big event, I thought that would be a bit fun for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, I get a text from him immediately being like, you fucking asshole. You're using my name when you do warm up as an example of a nothing guy. You've probably been doing this for years. He thought that I didn't know he was there. And just always use his name like that. I don't know why that would help.
He's taking it the wrong way. He's really taking
and
it.
And I'm like, I knew you were here. He's like, how would you know that? I'm like, Taunton told me. He's like, Taunton wouldn't know that.
But I did know that.
Yeah, I know. But he's like, kind of almost, I'm ruining friendships. I'm bombing in front of Delta.
Have you patched it up? Wait, was it that bad from...
I mean, I think I turned it around when I had to screenshot your message to me.
Yes.
And he knew that you were with his girlfriend. I think, you know, he had to... But then still didn't like his name being used. I should have put him in the 10 out of 10 example. I just thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
You know, and make more sense.
No, I mean, you've done nothing wrong, Tom.
Well, I think...
Except accepting the gig.
To some extent, there might have been a drag him down with me component.
So Henry immediately was like...
He assumed that I've never done this all like, the time. That I do this all the time, and I use him as an example of a 3 out of 10 bloke.
I still don't think even if you do that, that's that bad a thing to do.
I mean, I shouldn't be defaming him all around town.
Yeah, but he has a name that I'm sure other people have.
Yeah.
Henry's a quite common name.
Very common.
Stone, there's got to be a few stones floating around.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Also, it's nice to take someone down.
Exactly. Well, I thought I was getting people included.
Okay, then can I ask the next stages of the night? So your set finishes. Mm. They cut you off.
Well, so then they told me with 2 minutes left, you got to get off.
Have you got someone in your ear?
No. Should have had a headset.
The headset would have changed.
How am I going to know when to get off? And they were like, oh, someone will wave at you when it's like 2 minutes till you need to get off. And I'm like, what about like just when I need to get off though? It's not going to be flailing around out there. I don't know, fucking 2 minutes.
Jesus, right, yeah.
And then they're like, oh, there'll be someone on the floor, whatever, walking around. Oh. And so, yeah, I do one joke, MDMA joke, nothing.
Which is a classic.
I mean, it's a Cashman classic. I shouldn't have done it. It was the wrong one. Something else bombed. I don't know, a shorter one. I don't know.
Unless you had a joke about them not getting to their seats at a TikTok event. Totally. I don't think you could have done anything.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But you always wonder and wish. That bombed. Got into another one where I'm acting out. It was about social media. I'm like, women are like this on social media and men are like this.
Yeah.
Women impersonating women. Halfway through that impersonation, someone's in front of me waving their arms, being like,
get off.
Hello? Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, in my mind, I'm like, I've got the light. Yeah, I'll just finish the bit.
Yeah. That's what the light means in comedy. Exactly. I'm on my last joke. I'll wrap it up and get off.
Absolutely. Yeah, in a minute when I've done the thing, which reveals I'm not just being sexist and, you know, it all kind of comes to a head. I'm not just doing an impression of a woman. And I nodded her and then kept going. And then she's still being like, oi, oi. And then, basically.
She says oi.
Well, she's, yelling little things like, oi, oi, yep. And then kind of started motioning like, get off, like that, like with her hand. And you can, at this point, Henry's furious with me because he thinks I've been doing
warm-up.
Yeah,
but you don't know Henry's angry. No. That's a new fun thing you've got in your future at this point.
He's filming me and that's how I have these clips of it. Because he's filming me being like, I'm filming Tom bombing because he always uses my name. That'll show him, the fucking asshole. I thought the one friend I had would be on my side. He's filming me. And then, in that second clip, you can see me being told to leave, basically, and then introduce the DJ and run off.
Every breath you breathe is God inside of a Jesus dream. Everything you touch is gorgeous. Everything gorgeous reminds me of your touch. Sorry. What? Countdown. We're doing it. Oh, my God. Are we going to DJ? I think the countdown's happening. I'm going to throw over to Paris Lawrence. We're going to kick it off. We're starting in 1.5 minutes. Make some noise for Paris Lawrence.
He just had to stop mid-bit.
Then, I suppose this is the other component of my job that I didn't know that I had to do. The director person was like, okay, so you do 5 minutes, do all the levels, and then if you could just stand at the back and do crowd management.
What, for the entire night?
I'm like, what do you mean crowd management? Like, there's 800 people there. She's like, yeah, just at some point, she's like, in between all the like the hosts coming out and stuff, you just G up the crowd.
That's as warm up as it gets.
Exactly.
Like that, you're a warm up act. You can't be like, come do some jokes when you're doing that.
No. And then I'm like, but what does that mean? Like on stage, like go on and be like, woohoo. And she's like, no, just at the back, just getting the clap started. You know, people like to follow the clap.
She's a proper TV person. Because that is what a warm up person will do. They'll be on the floor being like,
In a smaller studio, though.
Tiny studio. Not, 40 seats.
Even there's 40 seats. It's like everyone is, okay, now we're clapping. Like they do lead with that. They'll often maybe laugh at the right time as well, get everyone. But this was like, 800 people in a, like me going, starting a clap.
Did you go and do it?
Well, then I kind of just, yeah, did.
Because I would
loaf around. I did it a few times, but not the whole.
I would have left straight away if that happened left. To me, yeah. That story. Because that, no disrespect, sounds like one of the worst bombs you could experience. Like, I don't know if I've heard a story that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, of course, there's been bad times, but that's pretty bad.
It was pretty shameful to then have to sit around and, I mean, I went and got a beer. I mean, towards the end, I was sitting, because she told me to kind of stand right behind the front bit of the crowd.
Mm.
And I sat on the steps up to, like, the mezzanine bit, because it's like there wasn't anywhere to sit there.
It's a hot crowd.
So I sat down.
And the warm-up guy's off. They're all going to get in and watch a show.
Security guard comes up to me. He's like, mate, where's your green... Like no. A green bracelet or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I don't have anything. I'm the warm up guy. He's like, I don't care if you're the fucking warm up guy. You need a green bracelet. I'm like, well, I don't have a green bracelet. I'm working, and he's like, well, you need a fucking green bracelet.
Another
security guard came over, and he's like, you need a green bracelet. You need to stand up. And you can't Dude. Be here. I'm like,
so you got kicked out.
At least, then the other guy was like, I convinced him with the like four times. I'm like, I was told to stand here, do clapping. It's like. He was like, okay, well, you can't sit there. It's like they're yelling at me. Like, I'm trying to comply. Security people are trying to drag me away. I'm bombing in front of Delta. My one mate's filming me. Being like, you fucking
loser. I fucking hate you.
Yeah, anyway, it was, yeah, pretty good.
Wow, and that's how the night ends. You go home with your tail between your leg. How did you run into some of the TikTok people? Were they happy with the booking? How did they feel about you?
I got muted positive response from the guy who booked me.
Yep.
But nothing crazy. I think they just hadn't thought it through. I think it is a booking error as much as my error. I don't think it really mattered as well. Once it gets kicked off, it's like whatever. Like, they don't really need a warm-up.
You're expendable.
Yeah.
They just need someone up there. Your messaging could have been better. I think you could have played it better. A headset, I think, would have really helped you.
Yes,
I'm not totally. Even joking. It honestly would have changed the game.
I agree.
You hold a clipboard and a headset, you're somebody.
And then you're a gag. You can do gags about that. It's like.
Yeah.
You know? From the perspective of someone who's putting on the event, because they don't care about, like, I'm a comedian.
No,
they don't want to care about your perspective. I did what I saw you do the other week. Like, you got a bit sooky when you were bombing.
Oh, yeah.
I did that. I'm like, well, if you want it, you're going to have to quiet down if you want to hear some of my jokes.
When did I do that?
At Skinner's room, I feel like someone was accusing you of being a bit like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
yes, I was
like,
bombing.
That's a move.
Yep.
Sometimes you just lean into it and you're like, no, you like... have bigger energy to try and earn them back, and sometimes it's a bit like
you go school teacher mode.
Yeah, well, you just come a bit like, come on, guys, like I'm trying here. You try and like guilt them into it. I tried that at some point. I'm like, if you want to hear the jokes, you can let it just be quiet.
They don't want to hear
the jokes. They don't give a fuck about you, you idiot.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, what sounds like such a success from my point of view. What a great story for you.
Thanks for recommending me.
Dude, anytime someone asks, I was at the Actors that night.
You, yeah, we're an equivalent event.
I met
the Actors is AACTA. The what is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Australian Academy. Australian Academics.
Cinema and Television.
Not academics. Academy of Cinema Television. Yeah, okay. Something else, maybe.
Awards, probably.
Awards, that's it. Yeah. It's catchy.
Cinema and Television.
Yeah, right. I met Eric Banner.
You met Eric Banner?
Yeah.
God.
Sarah Snook.
I met you didn't... Jordan Lawrence.
Did you meet up with Henry?
Nah. Too ashamed.
There were heaps of stars there. Someone had COVID there.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
That later came out or?
Yeah, yesterday it came out.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, 2 days ago.
Did you talk to Sarah Snook?
Talk to Sarah Snook.
What's she like?
Beautiful. Charismatic.
Yeah.
Engaging.
God.
Endearing.
Oh, my God. I'd say the same about Randy.
She's got facial expressions.
Yes.
That are so captivating. Like, the way she moves her face around. I also found out, because she's married to this Australian.
She's just hot. And it's like, the way you move your face around is fascinating.
No, but there's something more there, Tom.
No, true.
There's something more there. She's a good actor. I don't know what it is, but she has it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's married to this Australian comedian called Dave Lawson.
Okay.
Do you know who he is?
No.
He's kind of done a lot of stuff with Stephen Curry and like, it's like an actor. But apparently he used to do this like talk show at Melbourne Comedy Festival or whatever.
God.
In my head, he's just an open micer.
We have high hopes.
No, I know. It's actually been so inspiring. Anyway, then I was in Melbourne on the weekend and then I found out that this other comedian I know from Melbourne, I'll tell you who, off air, used to date her as well.
Oh my God.
And he is like, he's a lovely guy, but I mean, like, he is not scaling that. Actually, I don't know what he's up to, but as far as I'm aware,
not successful enough to be dating this gorgeous,
like, on the biggest show in the world.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like, and it's blown my mind. And really, you know, I'm in a very happy relationship, but I'm like, what could I be achieving here?
You can dream.
Australian comedians are in hot commodity.
Was she a comedic actress at some stage? I suppose she is now. Succession is a funny show.
It's a funny show, and she's got some great lines.
Yep.
On it. I don't know. I think, well, I know she went to, she might have gone to Whopper.
Mm.
Or she might have gone to, but as she told me, she's just a humble girl. She grew up in the outer suburbs of Adelaide.
Right, totally.
Foot of a national park.
She did the spiel.
Well, I was just like,
are you humble?
No, I was just chatting to her, not a bit, but then she was like telling me about her life and stuff.
This is so different from my experience
at the TikTok, like, event.
Yeah, I think.
But and do you know the worst part is I invited you to the actors with me. You could have been with me.
I'm like, can't make it, mate. Got to be there early.
I don't know why you didn't come with me. You would have had a much better time.
I suppose. I mean, $1,000, is that enough for 5 minutes?
Oh, so you're going to reveal how much you got paid?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'd want to know if I was listening, you know. Which, it's a lot of money, but it's not.
It's a lot, but it's not enough.
To meet Sarah.
If you were doing proper warm-up, I think you could have got paid more.
Yeah, but
I reckon you should have charged more to know that you had to stay there the whole time and do, like, clapping.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I didn't do that, really. I just watched. Like, I kind of didn't.
Yeah.
So I suppose I couldn't have charged.
But you would have met Sarah Snook.
I would have met Sarah. I mean, basically what I'm saying is maybe regret it. I don't know. What would you pay to meet Sarah Snook?
Like, I wouldn't pay anything. But
it's priceless. It's a priceless
No,
experience.
I mean, look, the actors is I found it quite boring.
Okay.
And it was really long, the ceremony. And Shane Jacobson might be the most, I mean, as for as charismatic and engaging as Sarah Snook is, he might be void of any true personality and maybe has the least funniest bones of anyone in this country.
And Shane Jacobson is Kenny.
It's Kenny.
Kenny. Well, but wasn't he actually just, he was a plumber?
I don't know what he was, but
I think that's how famous.
The only thing he was ever funny in was pretending to be like a autistic guy cleaning toilets. And Australia was like, that's so funny.
It is pretty funny to clean toilets. We were talking about toilets for like half an hour earlier. We can't shit on this guy.
But he was so bad. But this is quite exciting. A few times the tech fucked up. And like these people presenting, these actors had to pad for time.
Oh, see, this is
in front of like 1,200 people at the Opera House.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was so hard to watch.
Mm.
And like,
what do you mean pad for time? So they were like presenting an award.
So the wrong,
but then the
everything
that plays
up.
Where it's like, these are the nominees.
Wrong. They have to get it right for the broadcast. So they have to go in and find it. The auto cue isn't ready. So it just freezes.
Mm.
They don't have the envelope guy's like, well, I'm not bringing the envelope out.
The envelope, they don't have an envelope yet.
No, there's a guy who brings the envelope out.
Oh, dream job.
So, yeah, I mean, a pretty good job. I was talking to Husey about it after, and Husey was like,
oh, God, you're talking to all these celebs.
Well, Husey, no, I saw him the next day for another thing, but he was like, he asked to bring the envelope out, and the guy goes, it's my job. And he goes, well, how about we just streamline this?
Just
give me the envelope.
Why are you getting in the way of it? Like, it could only go wrong.
Totally. I mean? And it did go wrong twice.
Totally.
So Shane Jacobson had to pad for time. Terrible. Like, he didn't have to do long. 3 or 4 minutes, he's up there being like just talking, rambling. The second,
was he the host?
No, there was no host. Russell Crowe did like a 10-minute. I could only describe it as an incredibly boring monologue about how incredible and important actors are. Not the actors, actors in general.
Okay, right.
And then implored everyone to use their speech for political change.
Oh, I love it. Because that's never been attempted at awards ceremonies previously. So this is going to be the time. I mean, you could argue they've been doing it every award ceremony for decades.
Time.
But this one will be the one where people start listening.
Oh, he said, use our platform for good, is what he said. And everyone was cheering and they clapped. They quite liked it. Anyway, so there's this actor model called Phoebe Tonkin. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
She had to go up and present an award with, what's her name? Someone Dusseldorf. Marina Dusseldorf or something.
Oh, Dusseldorf is a city. Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf.
Marta Dusseldorf.
Marta. I say I wasn't a million miles away.
No, you did pretty well there.
Anyway, so they go.
She's in
up.
Blackjack. Classic.
There you go. So they go up. Tech fucks up straight away, and this is bad. Neither of them are too natural on the riff.
Yeah.
At one point, you can see the fear in Phoebe Tonkin's eyes.
I mean, can I say, around. You know, we're in here, we're riffing. Put me up there.
Dude.
I don't know how good I'd go.
Nikki Britton was sitting in front of me and I tapped her on the shoulder. And I was like, I wasn't even joking. I was like, seriously, you should go up. Someone here should go up. I was with all these comedians. I was like, one of you should go up and
imagine
help them
walking
out.
Up and bombing, though.
Oh, but it's not. I mean, yeah, you probably know what that feels like.
I don't have to imagine, actually.
They're like, who can we get up here to hold the time and not do very well? Well, he's on the other side of the harbour. Get him over here.
I'll get a call.
We'll get
jump
a boat.
On the ferry, mate. Oh, God, if only.
But, I mean, look, so they didn't know what to do, and they're just bombing, and it was getting longer and longer. Shane Jacobson, at this point, he's in the crowd. Mm. He yells out. He's like, sing us a song.
No,
and everyone's already like, fucking, you bombed before, dude. Like, shut up. We don't want you back up there. Anyway, so at this point, Phoebe Tonkin hugs the other lady to be like, it's going to be all right. Don't, like, because they're both freaking out.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then,
I'm trying to garner some support.
People did eventually would be like, clap and be like, you guys have got it.
Yeah.
I think at one point they tried to start singing or something.
Oh,
they wanted
God.
To start singing. It was like 10 minutes. Like, it was a 10 long.
10 minutes of just standing. Why can't they just leave the stage?
Well, that's what I said to the person sitting next to me. I
Get
was
out
like,
there.
They don't have to be there.
No, wait till the tech's back.
I was like, just leave, because what does it matter if you're there or they're not there? It's like, we don't need to be entertained. This isn't going on TV. Stop
and
being there.
Are they just not saying stuff, or were they padding?
They were trying to pad.
They were just like asking each other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, have you been, Phoebe?
Totally. And then they were asking for suggestions of things to talk about.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's a pod.
Dude, it's a
it
podcast.
Turned into a pod.
It's a real podcast. And then.
Did they talk about environmental impacts or, you know, other issues that were important to them?
Well, to me, this would have been.
Even with 10 minutes.
Dude, this would have been the best. Other people would
have been quivering in his boots.
That amount of time
to
talk about it. Everyone else has got 30 seconds.
Totally.
Phoebe Tonkin turned to the other lady, I think. What was her name? Marta.
Marta Dusseldorp.
Marta Dusseldorp.
Dusseldorp.
Dusseldorp. And said to her, I did an improv class and they spoke about bombing.
Yeah.
And she looked out and she said, I think it's important to know what this feels like. That was the highlight of the actors for me when she said that.
I have... intellectually had this concept explained to me, but it's one thing to learn about it and another to experience it. This is quite profound.
Well, they'll remember it for the rest of their life.
I mean, that's how you know you're bombing, when you turn into a philosopher.
Oh, it was so astute. It was so bang on. It was perfect for the moment. And because you could see the fear in their eyes. You absolutely could see it. And, I mean, that's the difference between these actors.
So me, Phoebe Tonkin, and Marta
Dusseldorp.
All in the same boat. They were up there for 10. I was only up there for 5.
Yeah.
How much did they get paid?
They got paid nothing.
Really?
They wouldn't have got paid anything.
Well, suck on that.
You got paid $1,000.
Famous assholes.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shane, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.